turn our Bibles to the Gospel according to John. If there are some in here tonight, it's your first time and you've been invited in, and you don't know anything about these things that we're speaking about. In other words, you don't know the joy of sins forgiven and Jesus as your Savior. We're very pleased to see you. We welcome you and do pray that this might be a night when you will be turned by God from the paths of sin into the joys of salvation. John's Gospel, chapter 12. And we will read from verse 19. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him." And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of the Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it, and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, "The voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?" And God be pleased to add that blessing to his precious word that we have read tonight. We would like to mention to those who are in the meeting tonight, perhaps for the first time, that we have had the privilege of listening to the Word of God. And God has promised in His precious Word that he that heareth my Word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And so on the authority of God's word, we can declare tonight that what God says in his precious word, if you receive what God says on its authority, you could know God's salvation. We have read from John's Gospel at a place where those that the Lord Jesus Christ came unto, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And consequently, at this time, in the ministry of the Lord Jesus himself, you find that the Israelite people had turned away from him, And then they declared that the whole world has gone after him. Then we find these Greeks coming, and it seems to be the heart of God is opening up to the Gentile world. And there comes from the heart of the Gentile a desire to see this one that has been rejected by Israel. Sir, we would see Jesus. And indeed, I do believe that it's possible tonight for souls by faith to see our Lord Jesus Christ. It was at this place that the Savior began to explain the death that he would die on Calvary's cross. He takes it in a very simple way, and he speaks of it, number one, in verse 23. He says, the hour is come. The Savior, looking at those Greeks, those Gentiles, he saw an interest in them. You see, my dear friend, that salvation is of the Lord. There are three that are interested in your precious soul. There's God the Father, who wills that all men would be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. There is the Son of God, whose work at the place called Calvary has made it possible for sinners to draw nigh to God on a righteous basis. And there is the Spirit of God tonight, who even in this meeting would seek to woo men and women and boys and girls to that path that will lead to heaven and to home. But then there's the other one here, and that's the adversary of your souls. And he is able, and he has got lots of material to work with. He has the world without. He has the flesh within. And tonight, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, let me present to you God's only way of re-salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks here in verse 23. The hour is come. I want to tell you tonight that this was an hour that was going to bring glory to God. If there's one thing that should bring a sinner to repentance, it's to realize that there was an hour in the experience of our Lord Jesus Christ when he brought glory to God the Father. When in love to the never-dying souls of men and women, the blessed Savior faced this hour. This is an hour that eternity looks forward to. This is an hour that we will in eternity to come look back to. This is an hour that we read of in Revelation chapter 5, that the anthem of heaven will be resounded to this hour on him that loved us and washed us from our sin. But if it was an hour of glory to God, it was going to be an experience of grief to the blessed Savior himself. You find in the Old Testament many evidences and many pictures of what this hour was going to be. This hour was going to be a time when instead of types in the Old Testament, that one who was foreshadowed in the Old Testament, that one who was spoken of as the Passover, that one who was spoken of as the Lamb, that one who was predicted by the prophet, that one who was sung by the psalmist, this hour was come, and it was going to be an hour of grief for the blessed Savior. You find in the Psalms that we have the experiences of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in one of the Psalms, we read these words. In Psalm 22, he was going to experience what it meant to be made sin for us, he who knew no sin. It meant that in this hour, he was going to experience what prophetically had been taught by the psalmist, when he, the blessed, holy Lamb of God, would take the guilty sinner's place and suffer in his stead. And he would know in experience what it was to hang on Calvary's cross. And there one who was eternally with the Father,
who was daily his delight, who was the darling of his bosom. He was going to take the place of guilty sinners, and he would know the experience of being abandoned at the place called Calvary by one that he loved and one that he served. He knew this hour in the prophecies. He knew this hour in his personal experience. But I notice here in verse 27, he faced this hour. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Oh, friends, and I want to tell you that John speaks of this one who came down from heaven. He speaks of this one as having come forth from the bosom of the Father. And there is no scriptural warrant for anyone, a Christian or an unsaved, to say that Jesus Christ could come from glory, walk this scene of time, and go back to heaven without dying on the cross. The Bible says he must die and he must rise again from the dead. And this hour that was going to be an experience in the life of the blessed Savior, when he would pour out his soul unto death, when he would be made a sin offering for us, he faced this hour and he says, for this cause came I unto this hour. And in love to our souls, the blessed Savior in the Garden of Gethsemane, oh, he was a real man, and yet he was the God-man. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, this blessed Son of God bowed in agony in that garden, and there he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Savior, in love to our souls, he took that cup that was going to speak of judgment, that cup that was going to speak of separation, as it were, on the cross of Calvary, that cup that was a cup of sorrows. He took it, as it were, from his Father, and he faced this hour alone. Oh, friend, what it must have meant to God to see the Son of his love taking the guilty sinner's place. No wonder John penned these words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, friend, tonight I would love just even boys and girls for you to realize that God's love went out to sinful man. It went beyond the borders of the Jewish people, and it's flooded out to earth's remotest bounds. We heard a young man from Japan today, and he was telling us how the salvation of God had reached him there in that land. And thank God, this is what we have in the message tonight. We would see, sirs, we would see Jesus. And you know, if I could only tell it, as I would love to tell it, that I would be able to take you tonight and point you to the place called Calvary and show you one there who in love to your soul bore the sentence of God against sin, and bore on the tree the sentence for me, and now both the sinner and surety is free. He faced this hour, we're told, and in that hour he fulfilled the word of God. Friend, I want you to notice that he's spoken of here as the Son of Man. Not only is he the Son of God, please let me tell you that swung low there nailing my Lord to the tree, and the cross they upraised as the multitude gazed on the blessed Lamb of dark Calvary. O sinner friend, tonight there's a heaven that he has opened by his death. And in that place God desires everyone to be. My Bible says that God desireth not the death of the wicked, but that all might come unto him and live. And it's God's desire that heaven might be peopled, every seat be filled, and everyone who will be in heaven's glory, they'll be joining that anthem, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin in his own precious blood. Oh friend, let me tell you tonight that it's the cross of Christ that is God's provision for sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ went out there. Oh, could you not throw your arms around him tonight and thank him for taking your guilty place and going out there instead of you and bearing that judgment against sin? Friend, I want to tell you, the Epistle of Romans teaches this, that all the people from Adam, every sacrifice that you read about in the Old Testament, there wasn't one that could remove sin from before the face of God. You think of that from Adam right down. That sin had accumulated before a holy God. And sin had to be dealt with at that place called Calvary. And there that accumulation of sin was placed upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Oh friend, tonight, it was himself who was there. It was the Son of God as the Son of Man who there became not only accountable for sin, but there the accumulated sin of mankind was atoned for by the blessed Savior. But friend, I would love you to come nearer to that place called Calvary. I would like you to hear those words of the Savior. When God entered into dealing with his Son in connection with sin of man, and when the Savior went into those dark hours on the cross of Calvary, we hear the voice of the Savior, and this is what he said: "My God, my God, why hast thou abandoned me?" Oh friend, that's the place. You know, if there's anything in you tonight, and if there's a place that you and I should know, our hearts should know, it's when we look at the blessed Savior at the place called Calvary. When God enveloped that whole scene, when God took a dealing, when man had done his worst, when the creature of his hand took the Creator, for all things were made by him and for him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And when the creature of his hands took the Creator and hung him on a tree, when God in his love, providing the sacrifice for sin, at the cross met the hatred of man. A number of years ago, Brother John Abernethy, remember, some meetings in Ketchikan. They weren't too well attended. There was a dear old lady who had invited her friend to come. She'd known this friend for many years. When she said to the friend, she said, "You know, the Lord's coming. I'd like you to come to the meeting. Hear the gospel." You know what the friend said? She said, "Is he coming again?" She said, "If he comes again," she says, "it will not be a cross this time. We'll put him in the electric chair." Listen, friend. If you're still in your sins, let me tell you something. You know what God says about you tonight? That you, read it in the first chapter of Colossians,
that you are an enemy in your mind by wicked works. That tonight you are a rebel against God. And yet God so loved the world. And it's at a place called Calvary where the hatred of man was actually the sled against the Son of God. Those of us who are saved, let us never forget that we have a nature that can never please God. There's no such a thing as a person who has got to Calvary having any praise. Because of what we see there, it exposes man for what he is. It shows us God in his love. It shows us man in his hate. And you know, of entering into your precious soul at this time, is it were a softening towards this man, the Son of Man. Let me tell you, it's the work of God in your soul. I want you to notice what the Lord Jesus Christ says here in verse 32. He says, "And I, if I be lifted up," there's three crosses, standing side by side, two for their own transgressions died, the middle one for mine. You see, friend, the one who speaks here, "I, if I be lifted up," when we were children, maybe you'll remember it, we were taught that lovely little chorus. There was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven. That's him. It's I. It's the Savior. I want you to notice what he said. "I, if I be lifted up." There at the place called Calvary, he was lifted up. Between heaven and earth, they made deep their furrows in his back. There was blood flowing down his blessed brow. The spittle was on his face. The sword went into his side. That's what man thought of Christ. "On such love, my soul still ponder." The Son of God, Saul says, the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. But notice, here is the expectation of the Savior, prophesied in Isaiah 53. He will see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. He says, "I, if I be lifted up, will draw all," notice here, "all men unto me." Friend, I'll tell you, that's what God wants tonight. He wants to draw you to the Savior. And you know, it may be tonight you've tried many things. A few weeks ago, I had to go to Ireland because of a death in the family. But I heard about a man, a policeman, who had stopped me a number of years ago. One of the little towns in County Antrim. He asked me for my license. Showed him my Alaska license. Asked me what I was doing there. What was my job? I preached the gospel. Knew the result of his interrogating me. I thought, well, I'll just speak to him. I said, "Are you happy?" I was happy. I said, "Are you saved?" "No," he says, "but I'd love to be." Standing on that road outside the city of Ballymena, that great big policeman, was standing there a convicted sinner before God. You know, he had tried church. Then he said he joined the choir. And then he went to some big rally and he went up to the front. You know, I said to him, well, listen, you better get past all those things. Get past the catechism. Get past the choir. Get past the church. And I says, get to Christ. Friend, that's what salvation is. Salvation is getting to Christ. And I want to ask you tonight, have you ever got to him? You know, he says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. This is why the Savior was there, that he might draw all men unto him. And this, it says in verse 33, signifying what death he should die. The Son of Man must be lifted up. And thank God, he was lifted up. Lifted up was he to die. Friend, as he was lifted up the place called Calvary, at the end of those sufferings for sin, when he knew and experienced what it was to sink in deep mire where there was no standing, when the floods of God's judgment went over his blessed head, and when he had consumed the judgment of God against sin, he cried with a loud voice, Tetelestai! It is finished! Bowed his head and dismissed his spirit. My dear friend, let me tell you, it's a finished work at Calvary's cross. And at that moment, God was completely satisfied. If you get to the place called Calvary, where the Lord Jesus Christ said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Wouldn't it be lovely tonight if you glorified God, if you abandoned your sin and took the Savior, and tonight you, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your own and personal Savior. If I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. The little boy of 6, I do believe that was the first time when I realized that the Lord Jesus had to die for my sin. And I thank God very much for the night when he drew me to himself. When as a sinner, tired of sin, a sinner who realized that he should have been sent to hell. Simple faith, I trust the Savior. I came to Jesus. As I was, weary, worn and sad, found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. May the Lord draw you to himself tonight, for his name's sake.